Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Hey, good morning. And like Matt said, if you would open up your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2, that is where we're starting today. We're actually in the third week of this series called Four Keys to Spiritual Growth. We've been talking about what does spiritual growth look like? What do we really need to do to walk with the Lord? And so we've been journeying through 2 Peter. And Peter's been saying things like faith is central to spiritual growth. Understanding what is true is central to spiritual growth. Next week, we're going to be talking about how looking ahead to the hope of heaven and eternity is central to spiritual growth. But I want to just dial back for a moment. Last week, we had talked about the fact that true biblical teaching is absolutely critical if you're going to grow spiritually, because true biblical teaching reminds us who God is. It reminds us who we are, and it reminds us how to have a healthy relationship through Jesus Christ alone. And that's what it does. That's what true biblical teaching will do. But there is another kind of teaching. I wonder if you know that there's another kind of teaching. And Peter calls it false teaching. He calls it false teaching. Right? And so false teaching, when we read this, we're going to read this here in just a moment in chapter 2, but Peter is saying, listen, false teaching is deliberately teaching deceptive ideas, right? I'm teaching deceptive ideas on purpose. This is very, very different than someone who misspeaks in a moment. This is very different from somebody who may be teaching on a topic that they just haven't studied well enough yet, or they're newer in that area and there's a layer of ignorance and they still have some room to grow, right? By the way, nobody is perfectly airtight on their theology, right? And knows everything there is to know about God perfectly. And anybody who tells you that they do, run from them, okay? Just run. And so false teaching, though, is this idea that I'm intentionally, deliberately teaching deceptive ideas. There's an intent to deceive. And what false teaching actually typically looks like, it's almost true. That's actually what the most deceptive false teaching looks like. It's almost true, right? That sounds pretty close, and it's only 3, 4, 5 degrees off. It's close, right? Because the blatant stuff is easy to find, right? There is no God. Live however makes you happy, right? That's really blatant. You can see that pretty clearly. Denying God's existence. But then there are these false teachings that are just to the side of truth. Right? They're 3 degrees off, and at 5 feet, 3 degrees doesn't make that big of a difference. But at 300 miles, 3 degrees will put you in a completely different place than you ever thought you were going to be, right? 3 degrees over 15 years of your life will lead you to a different place that you never thought you would be at. And so that's what we're talking about when we're talking about false teaching. And false teaching can destroy a person. And that's what we're talking about today. And I know this isn't like, this probably won't be like the feel-good sermon of the year today, but it's we have to talk about it because Peter is talking about it. It's good for us. So we're talking about false teaching, and I want to show you how you can guard against false teaching in your own life. And I know some of you are going, false teaching, I don't know a ton about that, but I can tell you what I know is false is that mustache on your face. And but listen, hopefully that goes away soon. All right, yeah. Oh, just for that? One more week. One more week. You have to look at this, whoever wooed. good. Hey, 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read through the passages together. This is what it says. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not heap abuse on such beings when bringing judgment on them from the Lord. But these people blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They're like unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like animals, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed, an accursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These people are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. If they've escaped the corruption of the world by knowing the Lord and by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. So, yeah, I don't know that this is the passage you read to your kids before you tuck them in at night, right? Good night. Enjoy the blackest darkness. But this is true, right? The scripture here is true. And it's worthy for us to look at and to read. And so there's three things I want to walk through in this passage very briefly that Peter does. Peter exposes the heart of false teachers. He exposes the actions of false teachers. And then he exposes the consequences of false teachers. So it's the heart, the actions, and the consequences of false teachers. So the heart of false teachers. What Peter did is he took time, and it's kind of all throughout the passage. It's not like all in one place. You kind of read it. And so I'm going to kind of categorize some of these things for us today. But Peter described the heart of false teachers. And what he did is he said, listen, false teachers, their hearts are filled with greed. They're filled with pride, right? They're filled with arrogance. They are driven by and they are driven towards things like wealth and power and influence. This is the thing. These are the things that motivate false teachers, right? He says they don't really fully understand what they're talking about. They definitely don't understand truth, and they don't understand the concepts that they're talking about. He says they themselves are slaves to sin. They're in slavery themselves. He describes them like springs that are empty. You go there looking for refreshment. You go there looking for hope, but there's nothing there. He says they're actually like mist driven by a storm. What he's saying is there's no substance. There's nothing of substance within them, right? And I think what might be the most disheartening thing, what Peter seems to be saying here, is that these are people who at one point understood, somehow experienced the way of righteousness, and then they turned their back on it, right? They were exposed to it. They saw it. They seem to have even understood it, and then they turned away from it. And he says it's this gross depiction. It's this gross depiction, just like a dog that returns to its vomit. Just like, right, this is a sow that has been cleaned off, right? All of that, and then immediately returns right back to the mud. So that's what it's like with people who are false teachers. You need to understand that false teachers, what Peter is saying, these are spiritually dead people. These are people who are not walking with the Lord. They have not met Jesus Christ and been transformed by him. They are living separated from God. The Holy Spirit does not reside within these people, right? And there's a level where you cannot see into the heart of a person. You just can't. It's not possible. You can't see into my heart. You can't see into my will and my desires and the intentions of my mind. And I can't see into yours. And so Peter's pulling back the curtain on that for us. But what he's saying, what he also says is this. He goes, you can't see into the heart of another person, but the heart of a false teacher always makes its way out into their actions and into their words, right? Same is true of those who walk with Jesus Christ. Those who have been transformed by Jesus Christ, it always makes its way out into our words and into our actions and the things we do. And so Peter walks us through some of the actions of a false teacher. So again, they're spread around, so I'm kind of putting them together for you in the passages. But what Peter says, he goes, listen, what you'll see a false teacher do is they will secretly introduce destructive opinions. And I love what he does there. He's contrasting the opinions of false teachers with the truth of Scripture, right? The truth of the eyewitness account of the apostles, which is drastically different than the destructive opinions of these false teachers. And it usually, right, a lot of times it comes in the form of questioning. Was Jesus really God? Like, really? All the way fully? And why hasn't he come back yet? Didn't he say he was going to come back? He's taken quite a long time to come back after his resurrection and ascension. There's questions like, did God really inspire the Bible? Or is this just men writing the things that they were thinking and what they were saying at the time? And so quite often, a lot of times, false teaching will actually come in the forms of questions. Which is not out of the ordinary, because if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, and you'll remember, if you've read this before, there's a moment, this is God has created the world, you have Adam and Eve, and God gives them one command, right? Don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, because if you do, you'll die. And then Satan, who comes in the form of a serpent, comes and he asks a question. He says, did God really say, if you touch the fruit, you'll die? You see, it's almost true, the question that he was asking. It's almost true. It's so close, right? The origination of false teaching is so close to truth, it appears that way. And Eve goes, well, no, he didn't say if you touched it, right? And then the whole thing unravels from there. But that's what false teaching will typically look like. It's a slow chipping away at that which is legitimately true. False teachers will tend to add new teachings to the Bible and refer to them as fresh revelations from the Lord, new revelations from the Lord. Peter says false teachers will indulge in sinful pleasures themselves. And then what they'll try to do is they'll actually try to entice new believers and lure them back into their old lives of sin. So they don't always go after people who are substantiated in the faith. They actually go after people who are newer in the faith, who are ignorant, who don't understand, who don't know. And they can slowly pull them off to the side and help them return back into the life of sin that Jesus was freeing them from. Peter said false teachers typically tend to brag about themselves without spiritual truth. So he says, they actually talk more about themselves than they do about the truth of Scripture and who Jesus is. Peter said, false teachers will promise freedom, but are themselves slaves to sin. They will promise to give you something that which they don't even have themselves. It's so sad. It's so sad. And so, right, what Peter is doing is he's helping us to recognize false teachers, right? And there's a level we go, well, how do you know if somebody's a false teacher? The really easy thing is like, well, they're saying things that aren't true. They're teaching things that aren't true. They're saying things that are to the side of what Scripture says or what's to the side of truth. They're actually in opposition to what the Bible has to say. That's the really easy way to identify false teachers. But if you look at all the things that Peter is saying, what he says is not only will false teachers teach things that aren't true, but false teachers, their lives will not match up with the character of Jesus Christ and the reality of Scripture. And so sometimes they will teach things that are very close to truth, and even sometimes they will teach things that are very true, and yet their own personal lives are so far out of whack, so far to the side of who Jesus Christ is and what it means to be transformed by Him, that that is a sign of false teaching as well. Jesus said the same thing, right? One of the things, Jesus had a judgment against the Pharisees. It's actually found in Matthew chapter 23. And Jesus said this. He goes, listen, here's the thing. When the Pharisees teach, listen to what they have to say, because they read the law of Moses, and that's true. And he says their teaching is actually not wrong. But then he says this, but don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they preach. He says they're false teachers, they're false prophets. So they say, they read the Scriptures rightly. They even say things that are true, but don't do what they do. They don't practice the truth. They don't practice what they preach. So it is possible to be a false teacher who's teaching things that aren't true, but it's also possible to be a false teacher who's teaching things that are close to truth and sometimes even true, but if their life is so out of whack, right? They are not walking with Jesus in their personal life. That is a false teacher as well. This is what Peter is saying. This is what Jesus is saying. See, the reason, you have to understand, I know some of you go, man, this is like heavy. Why are we talking about this? Peter exposed the heart and actions of false teaching because the consequences of false teaching is so dangerous and it's so drastic. This is what Peter says. If you're reading through, we read the passage already, but again, I'm bringing things together. Peter said that false teachers, they're actually bringing destruction on themselves. They're bringing judgment. They're bringing condemnation. They're bringing punishment. And Peter says, listen, do you remember from the Old Testament, the angels who rebelled, God judged them and cast them into hell. Do you remember the story of Noah? In Genesis 6, when the whole world was living however they wanted to, and actually the sin was so deep that it grieved God's heart that He had created mankind, that actually He swallowed the entire earth up in a flood and saved 7 people in that moment. He says, do you remember in Genesis the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, as cities that were so overwhelmed by sin and disobedience and opposition to the Lord that God actually destroyed those cities? Peter says, just like God handled those moments, God is going to handle false teachers. He's going to judge them. He's going to punish them. He's going to bring destruction on them. False teachers, Peter said, the consequence, they live every day under God's curse. That's what it says. Every day they live under God's curse. And what's waiting for them is the blackest darkness. Blackest darkness is reserved for people who are false teachers. Why? Why? Well, James chapter 3 tells us that not everybody should claim to be teachers, because those who teach will be judged more harshly than those who don't. That's what it says, James 3:1. Not everybody should claim to be teachers, because we actually get judged more harshly than those who are not teachers. Jesus actually said that those people who teach others how to sin and approve of it, it would be better if they took a large millstone, tied a rope around that millstone, then tied the other end of that rope around their neck, and took a long walk off a short pier. That's what Jesus said. There is strict, deep judgment, condemnation, punishment for those who pursue false teaching and step into that. And so there are deep, deep consequences for teachers, but there's also consequences to the people who follow them, right? That's what Peter says. He says, listen, people are going to be, they're going to be seduced by these lies. They're going to be pulled away, and they're going to pursue after this stuff. And there's consequences to the lives of people who follow after false teaching. And the reality is, in this room, some of you have experienced firsthand the destructiveness of false teaching. Right? You know somebody you love deeply. Maybe you yourself, you actually got pulled in to this thing that was to the side, right? Actually, might have even been a cult. Might have been this form of religion. And what they did is they spent most of their time trying to figure out how to control you, how to isolate you, to overwhelm you with fear, so that they could direct your life and what they wanted you to do. Right? Some of you have been in that yourself. And you're like still trying to unravel all the mess that happened in that. Right? That's one instance. There's other instances of people right here in this room, some who are joining online. You actually, the church you grew up in over the last few years has been abandoning truth. They have been walking away from the truth of Scripture and been trying to create this other message that seems to be more palatable to the culture and to the people. And all along the way, there's been these slow chipping away, and you're going, what is going on? And then there was a line that was crossed, and you went, I can't be a part of this church anymore. And so you made this decision, right? It's one of the reasons you're here today. You made the decisions like, I have to leave that church. They're not even teaching Scripture anymore. And it was a difficult decision because that's the church you grew up in. Those are your friends. That's your family. This is the life that you knew, and you walked away from it. And I know how tough a decision that was. But can I tell you, it was also a right decision. It was also a right decision, as tough as it was. False teaching is destructive. You have to know that. It's very destructive, and it has a way of weaseling its way in to a person's life and grabbing hold before somebody can even fully understand what has happened to them. Now, I want to share a very shocking truth with you. I'm going to say something, and I promise you I'm going to unpack and explain it. God uses false teaching. Let me say that again. God uses false teaching. And I know some of you, you're already offended right now, right? You're like, oh, okay, bring it. Bring it, B-Lo. What do you have to say here? Here's what I want to tell you. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 3. God is talking about false prophets and people who are trying to mislead the nation of Israel. And in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 3, this is what God said. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer, talking about the false prophet, the false teacher. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. If a person pursues the teachings of a false teacher, what has happened is, it's actually revealed the true desire of that person's heart. Because if the false teacher is promising things like, if you just do this, you'll have wealth. If you'll just follow these rules, you'll have health. If you'll just do follow this religion, you'll have power, you'll have influence, you'll have control, you'll be able to do all of these things, right? And they make these promises. And if somebody pursues false teaching, it's because that was the desire of their heart to begin with. And the false teaching exposed it. This is what Deuteronomy 13 is saying, right? It's revealing the true desires of your heart. And if somebody actually goes after it, it means that they desired that thing that was promised more than they desired the Lord. And so at times, God will actually use false teaching. Not because he doesn't know, but actually to cause people to discover for themselves what they're truly drawn towards. And so you have to understand the deep, deep consequences of false teaching, right? And here, what we want to do at Lighthouse, we want to help you engage of the truth of Scripture and discover it for yourself, right? Everything we do, we try to be so open-handed, so transparent about all this stuff, right? Because we believe truth matters deeply, and we want you not just to, right, not just listen to, oh, well, Fritz said it, right? It must be true. You know, I don't have to check what he has to say. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, and we want you to. It's one of the reasons we send out resources. We ask you to read Scripture. We ask you to talk with one another about truth and all those types of things. So I want to walk through just very quickly, how can we guard against false teaching in our lives? Here's the first one. It's probably the most important out of anything else. It's simply this. How do you guard against false teaching in your life? Know the truth. Know the truth. Know the truth. Guess what? How do you get there? Oh, okay, yeah, all right, yeah, okay, read the Bible. We got there again. Do you know, how is he going to get there? We got there. Read the Bible. This is the source of truth, right? Read the Bible. Know the truth. Know the truth about Scripture. Know the truth about who God is. Know the truth about Jesus and the gospel. Understand that the only way to forgiveness, the only way to salvation is by grace, right? Through faith in Jesus Christ, that he has saved us. That's it. There's no other way. Know that. Know the truth about repentance and new life. Know that Jesus always calls us away from a life led under our own direction. And he always invites us into a new life that's actually led, directed, relying on God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Understand the truth about things like holiness, that for those who have genuinely met Jesus Christ, there's actually this growing and increasing distaste for sin and an increased desire to know and walk with the Lord. Those things are true, right? And so if you're going to guard against false teaching, the most important thing you could do is to actually know the truth from Scripture yourself. Now, I want to share with you three more ways that you can guard against false teaching, and then what do you do if you think you've been exposed to false teaching? So here's the second way. How do I guard against false teaching? Compare their teaching against Scripture. Compare their teaching against Scripture. 1 John chapter 4, 1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world." And so you don't just take what somebody has to say at face value. You actually compare what they're saying to Scripture. Typically, what false teaching will do, it will deny what Scripture says. It will add to what is absent. They will make promises that God never made, right? And so very quickly, the way you know, you go to Scripture. Another way that that we kind of push back against this is false teaching tends to be wrapped up in self-help. How can you make yourself a better person, right? And it'll be leaked in there, right? Get up earlier, do more disciplines, be a better person, right? Try harder. All you need is this life hack, right? Those are all things just to the side. You know what Scripture says? You need Jesus all the time, always. There'll never be a moment you don't need Jesus. That's what Scripture says. And in fact, the most mature Christians are the most needy of Jesus. The more you grow in Christ, the more you realize your dependence on him actually is in greater and greater. The least mature Christians think they can do stuff on their own. That's just true. That's true. So compare their teaching against Scripture. Here's another way to guard against false teaching. Look at the direction of the lives of the teacher. This is what Jesus said. Watch out for false prophets in Matthew 7. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. They look like sheep, but they're not. Sheep don't have fangs, right? Number one, you can know that. Listen, I want to tell you something. Not everybody who thanks God for their Grammy or their MTV Music Award is a Christian. Okay? And so that just because they said something about the Lord doesn't mean we flock off and we all go buy their books and we listen to their podcasts and we go, they're of Jesus follower, because they said, first and foremost, I want to thank Jesus for my song about promiscuity and running around with all kinds of different people and drinking and whatever, you know. Okay, have some discernment. Sometimes wolves wear wool. So understand that. Look at the fruit of their lives, is what Jesus said. And here's the last way. Talk with the community. Talk with the Bible community about what you're hearing, right? In fact, this is one of the roles of our elders. Our elders, one of our roles of shepherding the church is to encourage you with reliable, true Bible teaching. This is what Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 1, verse 9. He said, listen, talking about an elder, he said, this elder has to have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught, and then he will be able to encourage others with wholesome teaching and show those who oppose it where they are wrong. This is one of the roles of elders. We actually help you discern what is true. Right, we walk together in that. And so talk with the community. Talk in your small group about what you're hearing, what you're reading. Hey, I heard this. Is this biblical? Is this true? I'm not sure. It sounds close. It seems right. Help me understand. Okay, so that's what you can do to guard against. What do I do if I think I'm connected to false teaching? Okay, what do I do? I want to just, before I answer that question, here's one. There are some... In our church family, maybe join online as well, there are some what I would classify as doctrinal justice warriors in our church family. And what reason I say that is you have deemed it as your ministry. You spend most of your time trying to identify who these false teachers are out there in the world, and you're posting things all over the social media and the X, formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram and all this kind of stuff, and you spend most of your time fighting these battles against false teaching out there in the world. And sometimes what you're actually doing is you're blindly posting things online because someone else you know posted it and you did no research on it and you threw it out there. And in the process, you have propagated false teaching, the very thing you set out not to do. By the way, there is no ministry labeled in the Bible about false, like your life is spent identifying and calling out false teaching or false teachers. You won't find it in the New Testament. It's not there. You should be aware of it. You should be able to discern it. But there's no role, there's no ministry that's what you do with your life. So what do I do if I think I'm connected to false teaching? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's very simple. Look at Romans 16, verse 17. This is Paul. I urge you, brothers and sisters, watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Right? He's talking about false teachers. What do you do? Keep away from them. What do you do if you think you are in a part of false teaching? Avoid it. Leave it. Walk away. Right? If there are other people you know are engaged in it, you can warn them. Right, you can talk about them, but you don't have to spend your life chasing after every single one that's out there. Listen, unsubscribe from their podcasts, their newsletters. Stop recommending the book to other people. Don't buy their product. Right, get rid of it. All that kind of stuff. You just avoid it. You walk away. You drop it as the bad idea that it is, and you leave it in the dirt. Listen. This is so important. This is one of the reasons Lighthouse Community, this is one of the reasons Bluffton Community, we lead the way that we do. We have elders who help to shepherd and teach our church around truth, right? It's what we do. We have multiple elders. I am not the only teacher in this church. I am not the final authority on what is true and what is not true. The scriptures are, and together as elders, we work through to discern that and to make sure that's put in front of our church family. We have a teaching team. If you're new to Lighthouse Community, we have a teaching team that meets every single week to talk about the teaching that's out here on Sunday morning. In fact, before you ever hear a message on Sunday morning, there are over a dozen people who have had their hands, their eyes, their heart, a part of this teaching. Discerning into this whole thing. So when you hear somebody up here at Lighthouse Community teaching, you are never only hearing their thoughts alone. You are hearing the community speak to the community what is true from the scriptures. And the reason we do all of that is we want to provide the absolute best teaching that we possibly can, and we want to resist false teaching. Right? That's what this church does. More than anything, we want you to know what's true, and we want you to walk with the Lord. So here's what I'm asking you to do this week. I want you to consider this as a next step. It's actually, as I'm thinking about it, it's on the back of your blue connection card. It's that third one that I want to draw your attention to. I want to invite you to take time this week to consider, what is the content that you're taking in? What is the content that you're taking in? And is it true? Not is it entertaining? Not does it make you happy? Not does it make you feel good? Not is it, right? It's just fun. It's no big deal. Just to ask the question, is it true? Is it true? And put it against that. There are a lot of things out there that are just close. It's almost true. One of the things I actually do, I spend time in my ears. I will actually find, I will research and buy like best-selling books. I'll listen to top podcasts and things like that simply because, right, they're top and they're best-selling for a reason because a lot of people are engaged in them. And so I'll listen to them, I'll watch them, I'll read them because I want to know, what are the people in our community and what are the people in our church reading, hearing, thinking about? What's making its way in? Because as somebody who cares deeply about truth, there are times when we have to unwire some things that have been unwired, right? And so just know, like, you have to discern between what's true and what's false. I want to echo what Peter said. He said, listen, there have always been false prophets. There have always been false teachers. This is not new. They didn't just come about because you popped up into the world, all right? There have always been false prophets. There have always been false teachers. There will always be false prophets. There will always be false teachers until Jesus comes back. It's going to happen. And you don't have to be overwhelmed by that. I want to read you the words of Peter. And I want you to think about this. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. And the Lord now knows how to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. God has protected truth and has furthered truth before you showed up on the scene. And he's going to protect his truth and he's going to further his truth long after you and I leave. This is a powerful God. He can do it. You don't guard against false teaching by chasing after every false teacher and calling them out everywhere that you can. Do you know how you guard against false teaching? You draw attention to the truth. You draw attention to Jesus. You draw attention to the scriptures. That's how you guard against false teaching. And quite frankly, do you know what my greatest prayer is for every single person who's somehow tied up or wrapped up in false teaching? You know what my prayer is? Repentance. Repentance. That false teachers and the people who are dialed into it, that the Holy Spirit would open their eyes to truth and to reality, and they would turn away from that, and they would put all their hope in Jesus Christ, and they would live a life that's transformed for the entire rest of their existence. That's my prayer. Listen, the key to spiritual growth comes through discerning counterfeits from the real, lies from truth. And I want to tell you this, Jesus is real. Jesus is truth. Dial into that. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. I want to end with the same question we ask it every single Sunday. It's simply this, Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message and through the scripture today? I just want to give you a chance to listen to him.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.